This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Doug and Daddy Friday edition. So nice out. You're not even hardly wearing pants today, Jimmy. What's going on? Get a big workout in?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a big workout, but I got a workout in. You know, I don't wear pants. Excuse me. Something happened there. Didn't.
Some people like to wear shorts all year long.
Yeah, I think
some people. I mean, from being a little kid, I've noticed people like that, and some people just like to, you know, they're always on the go.
You know, when I
and of course you're in sporting goods, coaches. You've kind of been along that line for a long time.
You know, I taught PE for a lot of years in Ravana, and you know, I wore shorts when we used to, you know, work out and play and whatever we did, our activities and et cetera. And you know, actually, the superintendent was upset. He wanted me to wear more sweatpants than I did. He even brought it up.
Sweatpants.
Yeah, things like that. You know, hey, can you put on? But, you know, and I never really did. And then, of course, when I was principal at SEM, I usually wore pants. But
well, that's good. You know, yeah. The dress-up kind.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people. I saw kids playing around last night at our ball game outside, running around in shorts, just enjoying that it's not 100 below. It's not 100 degrees out either. But hopefully, folks, it's a great Friday for you wherever you're headed. Hopefully, it's great if you're staying around home. Enjoy the time as well. Get some of this ice melted off of here as we get towards the latter portion of January. Coming up on the show today, we are hitting that home stretch for recruiting. And if you're on social media, you know that Mike Riley and his staff and kind of the guys behind the scene at Nebraska are really going to let you know what's going on. They are all over the country, from California to Texas to Louisiana to Florida and other places. Brian Munson from Big Red Report is going to join us a little bit later on in the program today. We'll talk with Brian about where the Huskers are, what still needs to get done, a big commit from this week, and we'll talk about that as well on the Doug and Daddy Show. But it is kind of it's kind of quiet, Jimmy. It's kind of quiet. Football is now done. We'll head into two NFL games this weekend, which, of course, are very big and very important. But we're going to start turning the page here to basketball, college basketball, the NBA. We'll start paying more attention to that. We are paying attention, obviously, to the Huskers, the Lopers, the Broncos. A lot of three-pointers last night for the Huskers. They had a freshman step up in Romeo and hit six in the women's game, and Connor Broderick made eight for the Loper men last night, one short of the school record. And overall, the games went well last night. UNK swept Northeastern State. Nebraska women pound Penn State. Nebraska men fall to Wisconsin. That's not unexpected, but they still have that problem, I think, that they had under Doc Sadler. They go long stretches without scoring. They just go long stretches without scoring, and you can't do that.
Yeah, when I got done with the game, we turned it on the radio, and I think it was like 58-38.
Yeah, they were
you know what
20.
I mean? Yeah, they're down 20. I mean, that was disappointing. I was kind of hoping it was be about a 6-point game, you know, something to listen to on the radio, but it really wasn't very exciting. And then, you know, we do have trouble scoring, and Pettaway really is the only one that's really been scoring at all lately that they can count on. But he takes a lot of shots too, so yeah.
Well, now it's a weekend off. Monday, Tuesday, playing all these, you know. I don't know. Was it a lot better when the Huskers played every Saturday and then, you know, the other game was Wednesday for the most part? Now, I think it's kind of neat because we've got something to cover almost every day. UNK doesn't necessarily play Friday and Saturday. Hastings College doesn't always play Wednesday, Saturday, although the GPAC pretty solid there. And the Huskers, you got to have a schedule to know when they're playing now, because if every game's going to be on TV, they've got to move them around. And I guess it's kind of fun. I mean, if you have something going on a Wednesday or a Saturday, you probably never got a chance to go to them or watch them, and now you have those opportunities, and the teams will be back in action Monday and Tuesday back at home.
Yeah, and I think the one thing is you know, with the Big Ten is, you know, you don't, if you got a home game, you really don't want to play it really late at night. You know, I mean, if you play it at 9 o'clock at night, you know, I mean, it's, and then the visiting team, by the time they get home and they got to go to class the next day, you know, I mean, it's, you know, so, you know, you kind of would like to have those things. If you're going to play on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, you're going to play those nights, and you're going to, you pick a good time, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and get those things started and get them out of there.
They go to class?
Yeah, they definitely do.
What do you think about this Ohio State, Cardale Jones? Any opinion? He's staying, and kind of, they had a press conference because that's what they do these days. And I mean, the kid kind of sounds like, well, I don't know what this is all about, but I was staying and they wanted to do this. So I think he's handled it really well for not being in the spotlight more than a month in his life. He's handled this whole thing really, really well.
Well, yeah, what's very interesting about this has come out because of what's happened to Ohio State. To think this doesn't happen at other schools, I mean, because it does. There is always controversial on who plays quarterback. In basketball, if you're a really good basketball player, you're going to get on the floor a lot. You're going to get to play quite a bit in the game. If you're a backup field goal kicker or you're a backup quarterback, and those are about the only two positions. They really are the only two positions on the football team. A punter, I'll throw that in too. If you're the backup, you don't get to play very much. Because they're going to go with the first-team quarterback because of the reps and the continuity and the flow of the offense. But he'll hand it off to different running backs. He'll throw it to different receivers. The offensive line changes. These five guys are going to come in, but they're going to interchange. So if you're a backup, you still get to play. But at that position at the quarterback, those guys are tremendous athletes. And they're sitting on the bench, and they're not getting to play. So let's really be honest about this. You want to be the backup of Oklahoma, and you think you should be starting, and or you could start at, you know, Tulsa. You could start at Wyoming. You could start at Kansas. You know, so you gave it a shot to start at Oklahoma. It didn't work out. It's hard to sit there for 3 years. Well, what are these Ohio State quarterbacks going to do right now? I mean, there's three of them. And what are they going to do? Is one of them going to go to the draft? Is one of them going to transfer to Florida State? Is somebody going to go to TCU? There are all types of options. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of college coaches would like to have any of those three taking snaps for him next year. And, you know, the thing of it is at quarterback, too, you can get hurt. But we've had quarterbacks. Van Bronson in 1969 started. Jerry Taggi was the backup. They switched those guys around and kind of interchanged them in 1970. And in 71, Taggi started every game. Van Bronson was just a backup from Shenandoah, Iowa. You know, I'm sure he wasn't real thrilled with that role. And if you look at it, you know, you look, I'm Tommy Frazier. Was the quarterback for a while, you know, and so he had a backup, and that guy started a lot, you know, and he was from Goodland, Kansas, you know, and so, I mean, and he didn't get to play very much at all his senior year. So, you know, there were been a lot of players, and of course, we're talking about Brooke Behringer there, but there were a lot of players that are backup quarterbacks that hardly ever get to take a snap, and when they don't get to take a snap, they transfer, and that's what's been going on, and Nebraska's had a lot of them transfer.
Well, Bovada put out the odds on Tuesday. We talked about them earlier in the week about the simple question, who will be the starting quarterback for Ohio State game one of the regular season? So basically, who's going to take the first snap in their first game? And I was surprised at the way they laid the odds at Cardale Jones, 11-10, the favorite. Braxton Miller, second at 5-4. And JT Barrett, then kind of a distant third at 7-2. Well, checking it out now, after the announcement, Cardale Jones is even money, so barely changes. But then JT Barrett is plus 200. That's 2-1. And then you've got Braxton Miller at 2.5-1 or plus 250. So the decision to stay changed the odds from Braxton Miller being second favorite to now him being the long shot. And maybe the writing is on the wall here that he's the one that goes. But well, what's, you know, the deadline kind of came and went, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it come and go yesterday?
Well, I believe it.
Did I miss something?
Is that for the NFL or is that for transfer to another school?
Well, see, that's what Braxton can still do.
Yeah. I mean, transfer to another university, yeah. Correct. I mean, and I, I just think that might be a possibility.
Supplemental draft?
Yeah, well.
You hardly hear about that
anymore.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
You hardly hear about that anymore. That happened a couple of times to some big-time players that I think maybe when the USFL was going on and they came out, blah, blah, blah. So there was a couple of guys that went in that supplemental draft. But it's interesting to keep an eye on this one because Ohio State is going to be either preseason one or two next year, probably number one, because I don't think enough of the voters will put TCU in that. That's the other school I'm hearing a lot about, Alabama. Ohio State's got a lot of guys coming back, so the preseason number one team in the country, and you're not sure who your starting quarterback's going to be. That's kind of an interesting situation no matter who you are.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, like I said, Doug, there are a senior in high school right now, someplace that is a tremendous quarterback, and you know what? He's going to go in and he's going to start next year for somebody, and he's not even on the depth chart right now, you know. But there's a senior in high school at some high school right now that will come in as a freshman. He will be a true freshman. He'll start someplace, and he's not even on the depth chart. So we, you know, there's a lot of different players that play college football. But I'll tell you what, I don't know how bad I would want to go to Ohio State right now if I was a freshman and thought I wanted to start at quarterback. You think, hey, look at the three guys in front of me.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. A lot of places you can go if you've got the talent, and Nebraska's in there on one of these kids. So we'll see how it all plays out. Brian Munson's going to join us in our next segment to talk a little college football recruiting. We've also got Friday Fanatics Trivia to bring to you. You know, I found one that was really, really difficult.
Question?
Yeah.
You want to just go with it here and give it to me and not put it, do it over the air and see if I can get it?
No, this is how difficult it is.
Okay.
We mentioned Connor Baronic had 8 3-pointers.
Right.
One short of the school record.
Right.
So who has the school record? UNK men's basketball school record, 3-pointers in a game.
Okay. The guys played at Minden High School. He had 9 and he had it against Missouri, I think. He hit 9 against Missouri.
No.
That's not true. He must hit 7 against Missouri.
No.
What is the record?
Record's 9.
And who is it?
There's two people.
Okay.
Recently, in 2010, Akeem Morrison.
Okay.
And then back in 1998, Mike Hancock.
Okay. Neither one of them is the guy I was thinking of.
That would have been tough.
Yeah.
I think that was too tough.
Yeah. Did you know University of Nebraska at Kearney, or Kearney State, even at the time, went down and played Missouri.
Yeah.
And they got a
old timer. I know that.
They got a check.
You're old timer.
They got a check.
Quit it.
They got a check for $10,000. They were up 43-38 at one time in that game. And some kid, his name was Miller. Jason Miller was his name. And he hit 7 threes in the first half. And they were up.
No.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Well, let's look it up. 43. How hard is it to look that up? But anyway, UNK was up 43-38, but they ended up getting blown out in the second half. They, you know, it was like Missouri was ranked in the top 10 in the nation at that time. But
UNK. I'm trying to think about when they played Missouri and when the 3-point arc came into being, because I thought it was longer ago than that, but it might not have been because the 3-point arc came around in the mid 80s for college.
Well, maybe I just made just made this story.
You know, you are getting up there.
Yeah, Kearney State played Air Force Academy. Used to play Air Force Academy all the time.
Nebraska used to have a freshman football team.
Kearney State beat Southern Illinois. Did you know that?
Sure. They played Florida a couple years ago.
Well, that was in a preseason game. They actually beat Southern Illinois in Hawaii. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, what I'm trying to say is Incarnate Word beat Nebraska. You know, Kearney State's won a couple of those things, too.
No doubt. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, catch up with Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Again, we'll have our Fanatics Friday trivia. We'll talk a little bit about, we're down to the Final Four. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Today, your prediction on who's going to win the Super Bowl, because you got both favorites in Seattle and New England favored by about 7. And I have to tell you, Jimmy, as they're getting more into the games, I'm watching more of the info today. 4th straight championship game here for the Patriots. And you start looking, Luke Hoover told me yesterday, and I guess he nailed it on the head. He said, I think the Green Bay thing will be a higher scoring game. But then I look at all these, the last 3 times that they've met in the playoffs, it's like 49-32. I mean, 50-28. Will we get that many points between the Patriots and Colts on Sunday? So we'll find out. Remember, defense wins championships. It just seems to me that Seattle is sitting in a really good spot. We'll talk more about that and a whole lot more. Brian Munson around the corner next.
When we buy something, we all want a great deal. But have you ever thought about a great deal on your home energy bill? A geothermal system from Carrier is a great deal. A geothermal system taps into the earth to capture free, renewable energy. About 45% of your energy bill goes to heating and cooling. You can save up to half in cooling, 70% in heating, and another 30 to 50% in hot water costs. Call Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating today to start saving with a geothermal system from Carrier.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With mostly sunny skies developing through the day today, we'll top off up in the mid-50s for highs as winds out of the west will stay from 10 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 30. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Doug and Daddy's show right on this Friday. Glad to have you along with us. Time for our TNL Husker recruiting update, brought to you by TNL Center Pivot Irrigation. Their owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every TNL irrigation system. So to assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today. It won't be long before you're ready to get them back out in the field. Performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent TNL dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. TNL irrigation systems, easier on you for a lifetime. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, welcoming in from BigRedReportScout.com, Brian Munson. Brian, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, good. Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you. You've been busy. You've been busy on the media circuit.
I tell you what, this new staff is working us a little bit harder than what we've typically been pushed so far, you know, in the recent years. These guys are really, really pounding the pavement pretty well right now, and it's exciting to watch.
For the general fan out there, explain where we're at now. We're off that last dead period. Mm-hmm. Signing day is that first Wednesday in February, the 4th. This is the 16th. What can coaches do? What's still legal out there between now and then?
So dead period ended earlier in the week, like you said. So the coaches are back out on the road. They were checking in with some recruits yesterday. There were coaches in Sacramento, coaches were in Houston, they were in New Orleans, they were in Tampa, they were in Omaha, and then they're moving on to another group. What's been really great about this staff is for all those people that are out there on Twitter, if you aren't following Mike Riley yet, you need to. This staff is completely transparent in their operations. They let people know where we are going. This is where we are, and these are the coaches that are going. And then not only that, but they include the coaches, specific coaches that are out there on the road, their Twitter handles in the JPEG that they're actually posting on Twitter. It's really remarkable to see how these guys operate. It's fun to watch. And like I said, that the transparency with it makes it great. There is a bit of a guessing game today because they're in Los Angeles, they're in Newark, New Jersey, they're in Portland, and not totally 100% sure who they're seeing there, but I did uncover the mystery of who they're going to see in Columbia later today.
Well, do tell.
Kywan Lewis. So Kywan Lewis is a linebacker at South Carolina. He mentioned that the news kind of broke on him, I think, last week, where he had said he plans to transfer from South Carolina once he graduates, which will be in May. So he will be eligible then to kind of be that walk-on type role or whatever, where he can go ahead and go to wherever he wants to go to pursue a graduate degree. And Coach Trent Bray, the linebackers coach for Nebraska, will be out there to see him about 2 o'clock. And I just happened to ask him, because he's from New Jersey, you know, he went to South Carolina, like, how realistic is it that Nebraska is really an option for you? Because it's clearly a big part of the rest of the class for Nebraska is that they want to get a number of outside linebackers. They've targeted, I think, there's 3 or 4 coming in over the next 2 weeks for official visits, or the last 2 weeks in January, excuse me. So he basically said, Nebraska is very much an option for me. I've got to go where I can become the best possible player, which will give me the best possible opportunity to play. So he's also friends with Mike Rose, who's on the Nebraska team right now currently. So I think that's going to help him out a little bit.
Yeah, hey, Jim Langer here. I know it by NCAA rules. If a player is unhappy at the university he's at, and he would call any coach. I mean, he could call the defensive back coach. He could call anybody he knows. And let's say, for instance, it's somebody that was at Kansas and he wanted to transfer to Nebraska, and he'd call one of those coaches. Immediately what they have to do is call Kansas and say, hey, you've got a player that wants to leave your school. We just wanted to let you know that he has contacted us. That's the first thing they have to do. But what you're saying is when a player graduates,
right,
then once he's done with that school, he is eligible immediately to play in September. Is that correct, or August?
That's absolutely correct. It's a Russell Wilson type of situation, NC State to Wisconsin. They are allowed to go ahead and leave the university, and they can go anywhere they want to, and they are immediately eligible to play the following season.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joining us here. Nebraska, if you're curious, is right in that, if you averaged all the services out, they'd be right around 30th right now. In fact, Scout has them sitting at number 32 after the addition of Jalen Barnett. I guess your impressions on this, and is this a kid that can step in and play immediately?
So Barnett played right tackle at Wadden. My guess is that he's probably more of a guard. 6'4", 295 pounds. He's not small enough to play, you know, he's not a guy that you say, oh, he's too short to play tackle necessarily. He's got great feet. He has unbelievable punch and unbelievable strength. He really understands pad level. He's a knee bender of an offensive lineman. He's not a guy you find bending over at the waist. He isn't sloppy in his technique. It's just such a jump. It's just such a jump, whether you're playing, you know, real rural six-man football in Nebraska to the highest levels of competition in Los Angeles. I don't care where you're coming from. It's very difficult. That's why when true freshmen make it to campus for offensive linemen, they become incredible stories if they start playing as true freshmen. I'm not saying it's outside the realm of possibility. I'm just saying it's a long shot. I think Nebraska is, I think the one thing that he has going for him, number one, is that it's Mike Cavanaugh's guy. Mike Cavanaugh was recruiting him at Oregon State and continued to go ahead and recruit him while he was at Nebraska. So I think that there might be an in, that he's really the guy that he's looking for and wants to build around when it comes to next season. Physically, could be ready. I just think the level of competition throws guys off. You know, like I said, he isn't sloppy in his technique, and he doesn't just rely on his size at that level that he plays at in Lawton, Oklahoma. He definitely has great technique, but I just think it's a huge jump.
talking on the Doug and Daddy Show with Brian Munson, Big Red Report. This comes to us via the Dent Popper inbox. John in Kearney says, ask Brian about the 2 4-star running backs with Vaughn and Cronkright. Is that right? With the commit of Ozigbo coming in.
Yeah, Ozigbo takes their spot. So Ozigbo was a guy that I know Nebraska was kind of feeling out around bowl time. Saxey, Texas is literally a stone's throw from where I live down here in Texas. I've known about Ozigbo since the spring because Nebraska offered the 2 juniors that were there at the high school. So when I made a phone call over to the high school, they said that Ron Brown was very interested in Ozigbo at that time, but of course Kendall Bussey was already on board. So Ozigbo then was on my radar. I saw him commit to Iowa State later on in the summer, which, you know, everybody was seeming to be going their own ways until Bo Pelini gets fired. So I wasn't very surprised to see Ozigbo kind of pop back up again for Nebraska. But with him on board, you know, and you're looking at 5 more commitments max into the class, there won't be another running back in the class.
A question again. Here's another one. Ohio State winning the national championship. Well, I mean, I think that has helped the Big Ten. I don't think it's going to help Michigan and Michigan State in recruiting. And I don't think it helped Indiana at all. Indiana was already behind the 8 ball anyway. But I think it really hurt Indiana with Ohio State's success that they've had. Your thoughts on that, or am I completely off base?
No, I think it. I think that Ohio State, this is a huge boost for them. I think that from the national landscape, that the Big Ten was impressive when it came to bowl game performances. I think even in a loss against USC, Nebraska fared very well. I think people took note of that they're not as far away as what people want to go ahead and believe, you know, nationally or whatever. It's clear that USC had some tremendous athletes, and they had some really young players. But Nebraska really held their own against that team. They got hit in the mouth, and they hit them right back in the mouth. I think Ohio State has had a wide advantage to begin with when it came to recruiting the Big Ten footprint. I think it widened. I think Jim Harbaugh has, you know, at Ann Arbor, he has a tough task to try to go ahead and fill up the group. That's why, you know, he's out in Sacramento trying to offer Matt Snyder. That's why he's in Florida trying to offer Reuben Jones. He's trying to take advantage, just as much as everybody trying to take advantage of him and offering the guys that were on Brady Hoke's commitment list prior to him coming and getting the head coaching job. He's trying to take advantage of any turmoil or anybody that's out there that's debating whether or not Nebraska is the right place for them. It wouldn't surprise me at all if more players that are on Nebraska's commitment list got offers from Jim Harbaugh. But I think that Urban Meyer, you know, if they needed another boost when it came to recruiting, well, they just got it. And I think that, you know, it's going to be very tough for anybody in the Big Ten right now to kind of draw closer to what, you know, Urban Meyer and Ohio State's able to do when it comes to recruiting.
A couple minutes left here with Brian Munson of Big Red Report talking Husker recruiting. Is this quarterback Joe Burrow thing a pipe dream? I see it everywhere right now.
You know, I would say, here's the thing. I would have told you 2 weeks ago, absolute pipe dream, forget about it. Now Tim Beck is coming in to be the offensive coordinator. And I'm sure that when Burrow and his family have a chance to sit down with Urban Meyer and Tim Beck to really understand the dynamic of what Tim Beck is going to bring Ohio State, what role he is going to play when it comes to being the offensive coordinator. Is he truly an offensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator in title alone? Who is going to be calling the plays? Who's going to work with Joe when it comes to his mechanics? I think those are all very serious questions that Urban and Tim are going to have answers for when it comes to the family coming to him and asking him what's going on. I was told last night that Joe is supposed to meet with the Ohio State staff this weekend, and that there will be, you know, that Burrow and the family will be, I think, addressing finally the media in some way, shape, or form on Sunday. So I think we're all going to find out here pretty quick, you know, what's kind of going on there with Joe. I do find it interesting that when you go on Twitter and you look at Joe's profile, he has no mention of being an Ohio State commitment. There is no Ohio State banner. He did tweet about Ohio State winning the national championship game, but it was just something simple as, I have an offer from that team. I just don't see it as a guy that, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but he doesn't have a great show of pride when it comes to playing for the in-state school. And that definitely catches me funny.
I've got a handful of other questions, so let's kind of hit them quick. The same question that we always talk about, the number of commits right now sits at 15. Are we worried about any of them not signing on February 4th?
Guys in the class, I'm still concerned about Reuben Jones, Deshaun Neal, and then to a lesser extent, I would include Carlos and Khalil Davis. I do believe that the Davis brothers, Davis twins, end up in the class. As far as Jones is concerned, I almost might write him off. I don't think he's going to end up at Cornhusker. He's taken an official visit to Louisville. He picked up an offer from Michigan. Deshaun Neal has got visits set up to all three, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Oregon. He goes to Nebraska next weekend. Don't feel necessarily very well about that one either.
How much, a question that we've bantered around a little bit here, but with the new staff having no one with direct Nebraska connections, how will that affect recruiting of anybody that's worthy of a D1 offer in the state, and maybe more importantly, what we're going to see from the walk-on program? Because obviously this is all new territory to these guys. How will that, in your mind, affect what happens with Nebraska kids in the near future?
Two-part answer. The first part is the walk-on program, I think, will take a little bit of a hit this year. I think that that's a little bit of an impossibility, and it's going to be overshadowed by the fact that they're still trying to pull together a class of their own when it comes to scholarship players. But my next answer will kind of shock you. I think that these guys are probably capable of pulling together better in-state relationships with high school coaches. Because if there was a knock that I didn't hear enough about, you know, the coaches spanning out to the state of Nebraska under Bo Pelini, a lot of players, you know, like Johnson, who's going to Wyoming, guys that probably were capable of picking up a Division I offer from Nebraska, that got overlooked, guys that probably would have got a walk-on spot, but did not get a real fair look when it came to getting an offer from them as Nebraska Cornhuskers. I think that the relationship with the Nebraska coaches around the state will improve. It's going to take a little bit of time, though.
We've got all-star games, collegiate all-star games here over the next couple, 3 weeks. The NFL Players Association tomorrow, UNK's Cole Manhart, the Huskers' Zaire Anderson are on the national team. Kenny Bell elects not to play in the East-West Shrine game. Just your thoughts and what these games positively and negatively can do for kids on both sides here.
Well, I think a guy like Zaire has a little bit to prove. I mean, he's an undersized outside linebacker. He's scrappy. He'll fight you tooth and nail. But I think a coach really wants to get in there and get a chance to see how he works, how he can actually play the game. So I think there's a lot of questions there. A guy like Kenny Bell, I think the one thing that he could have probably gone out and done something about his stock might have been just his consistency. I mean, I think everybody knows he works out hard. He plays hard. He lays incredible blocks as a perimeter guy. You know, I think most of all, though, those guys could have really come out there and just shown how coachable they are, how intelligent. What's their football IQ? That's probably big for all those guys when it comes to the draft process. You know, can I pull them up on a whiteboard? Can they explain to me what I'm looking at, what they're looking at, what they should be looking for in a particular play? That's big when it comes to this part. When it comes to those opportunities.
This comes from Dale in Hastings. What are the odds of picking up Darren Paulo from California now that he's going to visit?
You know, I think both the odds for Darren Paulo and Fred Ulu Perry from Honolulu, who's supposedly coming in next weekend as well, I think the odds are still there. I think it's really going to come down to a matter of what you want those last five spots to look like in the class. You know, if a guy like Joe Burrow becomes available at this weekend, what does that do to your list? How many outside linebackers do you really feel like you need? You already got Ferguson and Young in the class. How many more do you need on top of that? Is it two? Is it three? If you get Alston and you get Cameron Stewart, you know, what does that do? It seems very clear also that Nebraska wants one more safety to go in the class. You've got very limited real estate here. You've got one quarter of the class left to go, five spots. I don't think that they're in a situation where they can take more than that. So you're looking at five more down the stretch. So it's just going to be a matter of where the best value is, I think, here in the last part of this class.
Well, I'll give you the potpourri and let you pick one here, because there's a lot of other outside. You know, Trev Alberts is going into the Hall of Fame. They had the Outland Trophy spectacular last night in Omaha. Milt Tenneper was honored. Now you're starting to see other Husker coaches trying to find jobs. Some are still out there. Tim Beck. I think this is so intriguing. Nebraska fans didn't like Tim Beck, and then he's going to be the offensive coordinator for the national champions. So anything in that, that stands out that you wanted to comment on?
I think the Tim Beck thing is very interesting. I'll add to that. I think that there are a couple other coaches that were criticized the most, and John Garrison and Barney Cotton were two of the other ones that were the quickest to find jobs. You know, and where is Coach Brown going to go? You know, was he ever an option to fill the wide receiver spot underneath Coach Riley? But I think the other thing that was most interesting to me out of everything you mentioned was Coach Riley getting a chance to meet with Coach Tenneper and Coach Osborne at the Remington Trophy or the Outland Trophy Award. That, to me, I think just shows that the amount of respect that he has for both those men, I think that's going to pay off dividends going forward.
All right, a lot of things going on. Brian Munson covers them with us here from Big Red Report on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll let you get back to your day, Brian. Always appreciate it, and should be a fun next 3 weeks.
Oh, it's going to keep us all awake, man. You guys have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Take care, man. Brian Munson joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Husker recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Key here is always, especially with this not being a big recruiting class, not 24, 25, 26, everybody kind of putting 20 as the max and maybe even surprised if they get to 20. But if a couple of these guys change their mind before February 4th, then all of a sudden you're kind of set there with your hands in the air going, uh-oh, you know, everybody's signing. We need to go find somebody, and we already have a small class. So I think that's the concern here over the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, there's two things to look at. You could have two players that are fighting for the same position, and they don't want to go to the same school. That's one kid's thinking, hey, if that kid signs, I'm not signing. Or you have a snowball effect where somebody wants to say, hey, I want to play on a really good college football team. And if these guys aren't going there, I'm not going either. So, you, like you say, Doug, there's two things you're looking at there. Why people withdraw. That's why they withdraw. The other thing, sometimes people, that sounds great to go say, hey, I'm going to go play college golf at Hawaii. I mean, it sounds great. You sound, but then all of a sudden, he gets closer to that date, and you go, you know, I have to move. Who's going to wash my clothes? Who's going to do all this stuff for me? You know, maybe I'll stay closer to home. So some players actually kind of get a little homesick and will stay closer to home.
Got a couple of high school related notes that we're going to talk about. Even some baseball coming up here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway's new 2014 model clearance event is happening now through the end of the month. Get 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus a $500 rebate for financing with Midway on top of the huge rebates and your hassle-free discount on all 2014 models in stock. You can get up to $1,000 owner loyalty bonus cash on most 2014 and 15 Chevrolet, Buick, and GMCs at Midway when you trade in your 1999 or newer General Motors vehicle. Stop by and see them at your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way, and we're back after this.
See the latest trends in home building and home furnishings at the 32nd Annual Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Leading home builders, home improvement businesses, and decorators will be sharing ideas at the Buffalo County Expo Center, January 23rd, 1 till 7, the 24th, 10 till 7, and the 25th, 11 till 5. Admission is $3 per person, 12 and under are free. Featuring the Wildlife Encounters on Saturday and Sunday. Sponsored by Kearney Area Builders Association. That's the Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd through 25th in Kearney.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones.
Cuts or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Register now at the Hastings YMCA for swimming lessons. Choose from a variety of group and private lessons for most ages, including adults. Some of the classes include parent and child 3 and under, preschool program 3 to 5-year-olds, the Learn to Swim program for 6 to 14-year-olds, and more. Registration fees are $35 per member, $65 per non-member. Register 2 weeks prior to class and receive an early bird discount of $10 off. For more info on swimming lessons at the Hastings Y, call 463-3139 or log on to hastingsymca.net.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Best bet for weekend food and fun? Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Watch and wager on Coast to Coast Racing starting 11:20 from Aqueduct. 16 tracks, including Oaklawn and Santa Anita. Play live draw Keno, enjoy a great lunch, or come out for choice prime rib and night racing from Sam Houston. So race to the finish line. Number one for weekend food and fun.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Got a little baseball, basketball to talk about. And our Fanatics Fantastic Friday trivia is right around the corner. Right now, it's time for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We've been asking about the playoffs this week. Who will win the NFC Championship game? I know there's a lot of Packer fans out there. Well, 57% chose Seattle, 42% chose Green Bay. And to wrap up our footballs for the week, who you got in the Pro Bowl? I think it'll be interesting to see now under this format that they changed up last year, who's on what side. So we'll see how that pans out. And you can vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Speaking of baseball, the Nebraska Legion meetings are over the weekend, and we'll find out where the area and state tournaments will be, Jimmy.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And definitely. Well, Derek, I was going to bring up something here about called the college football. And I know most of the kids we have are in class right now, so they won't be able to listen to this, high school players. But one of the things that is really starting to bother me quite a bit, and it happens more in college than it does in any other sport, is these receivers or a player will have a easy way into the end zone, and they start celebrating a little bit before they get into the end zone, and they actually drop the ball before they actually get into the end zone. And with replay and all this that's going on, I think that's a heck of a mistake. And I think if I'm coaching a kid, I'm going to tell him to take that thing in there about 8 yards deep if you can, and then hand it to somebody. Hand that ball to a referee or hand that ball to a teammate. But don't be dropping that thing because I don't like it. I mean, does that bother you? Or am I an old school guy here on this? Because I don't think I'm old school. I think this is really important. All these other 10 guys on your team blocked and did all these things so you could maybe get into the end zone, and then you're not careful with that basketball. I mean, if you're
or football.
Yeah, or that's what I meant. But you're not careful with the thing?
I don't know that I guess you can determine whether it bothers me. It doesn't bother me. You're just an idiot.
Yeah.
You're just an idiot. You can't coach that. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you think instead of dropping it,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you grab the ball and you throw it through the back of the end zone. At least that way it's only a safety.
There you
instead
go.
Instead of being picked up in return.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yep.
I mean, one thing about football, Jimmy, is you don't watch. I haven't seen it in high school. I'm comparing it because I think the hot dog sport is basketball.
Okay.
All right. And you can watch that from very little all the way up. You don't have travel teams for football.
Okay.
You do have a lot of little kids playing football. But so I'm trying to figure out where they learned this. Where did they learn that?
Yeah, to run from the 10 to the 5, and then just as you get in the end zone, you kind of get rid of the ball out of your hand. I mean, take
Is it too heavy?
Hey, secure that thing and make sure you get – secure the ball and make sure you get in the end zone.
Well, I think it's pretty simple. You
yes,
just tell them the
secure
first
– secure the ball.
The first or second day, sometime in fall ball when everybody's in camp, you just lay down the law saying, I don't care if you're Kenny Bell or if you're this – kid over here from Hyannis that somehow found his way onto the team. If you ever drop the ball, I don't know that we'll ever see you on the field again. You know, you've got to make the penalty severe.
Exactly. Yep. Good point.
But I see. I see where you're going.
Well, yeah, that Oregon has happened to Oregon twice. One time the kid was from Utah in the Utah-Oregon game. Maybe yeah. changed the whole complexion of the game. Yeah, so just, go ahead.
You yep. can't fix stupid.
No, that's right.
NFL. If you're sitting there in Vegas, you're going to talk to Mike Perenio. Who's the ticket you're buying today?
To both favorites, like both favorites.
No, just one ticket to win the championship, to win the Super Bowl.
Seattle.
You're taking Seattle. Huh. Interesting.
We both took them, I think, didn't we, at the beginning of the year?
Sure we did. If I can just find where we put that ticket, I
yes, that ticket, yeah.
And Joe Cutlass, AD over at Grand Island, telling us, because we will have the Grand Island Kearney High basketball games tomorrow at 5:15, they are going to have that doubleheader for, I think, nostalgic reasons in the old gym, the East Gym at Grand Island. 5:15 for the girls. The boys will follow at 7, and so we see this a little bit more, maybe the college level, but it's Grand Island Kearney. They play a couple times a year, both of them, in fact, here in the next couple of weeks. But at Grand Island, they're going to move it in to the old gym. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
If they think it's a home court advantage a little bit to them, then that more power to them if that's the reason they're doing it. And that might be what they're doing. They're just trying to change the scenery a little bit. I don't think they beat Kearney High in basketball lately. I don't know when the last time they did. They've had some success in football and baseball with them, but I don't think they've beaten them in basketball lately. Last year was a tough loss for them. I think Kearney scored late in the game, but at Kearney last year, I think Kearney got ahead like 20-2. In the first quarter, if I'm not mistaken on that. But, I'm sure they're just looking for a change of scenery. Grand Island's played really well this year. They had Norfolk on the ropes just last week. That game was seesawed back and forth. They about upset Norfolk on the road. Men had played pretty well that day.
High school basketball, plenty of it going on this weekend, and we've got you covered on our network of stations here on ESPN tonight. Fort Kearney Conference, Amherst at Pleasanton. Grand Island Northwest is at Adams Central on 1230 AM KHAS and on Classic Hits 98.9 out of the Lou Platt Conference tonight. It will be Gibbon traveling to Donovan Trumbull. Gibbon at Donovan Trumbull. We'll have all those doubleheaders for you. Also tonight, Kearney High is hosting Omaha Bryan. Are you going to that?
No.
Okay. I hear that tonight is Dance Cat Dad Daughter Night.
Is that what it is?
That's kind of a neat thing.
Good deal.
I see this being catching on and kind of sweeping the country. The dads performing with the dance team tonight.
Right. You know, Omaha Bryan hasn't won a game yet this year, but they're kind of dangerous. I've refereed them this year, and they're a little dangerous. They go to the hole pretty well. They're pretty athletic, and they've had just a really tough schedule.
Grand Island will be at North Platte. McCook is at Hastings. And then tomorrow, we will have the Kearney Catholic at Hastings St. Cecilia doubleheader on Classic Hits 98.9 starting at 2:30. And as we mentioned here on ESPN, Kearney and Grand Island. We'll also have Storm Hockey this weekend. It's a Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Twin Bill on the Breeze, 94.5. Some good games last night. We were both over at the Axtell Elm Creek doubleheader. But Hastings St. Cecilia and Minden Girls, that's two in a row that have went down to the wire overtime last year. And then last night, a one-point win for St. Cecilia. So some pretty good games going on there. Let's take our final break, and as we do, let's take a look at our Fanatics Friday trivia question. One winner per household over this three-month period, and then you start over again. Phone number is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We were talking a little baseball. The teams are practicing. Can you believe that Nebraska's first game is 1 month from today?
Is that
as
right?
Far as a Friday, it's not the 16th, it's the 13th of February, 1 month from today.
I think UNK's playing January 31st, aren't they?
31st or February 1st.
Yeah.
Here's the trivia question. Who is Nebraska baseball's first opponent in 2015? Who does the Nebraska baseball team play in their first game February 13th? Call now, 888-455-3776. The winner gets a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Back after this.
It's our labor of love.
They should have fired him 2 years earlier.
All sports, all the time. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
There's something for every outdoorsman at the 13th Annual River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. January 16th through the 18th at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, featuring over 100 exhibitors, plus a gun show, RVs, resorts, boats, and much more for kids, live trout fishing, archery, and a Daisy BB gun range. Seminar speakers include walleye fishing expert Ben Garver, fishing Iowa's Great Lakes with Doug Burns, fishing and bear hunting enthusiast Nelson Redekop, and many more. You'll have the chance to view the latest and greatest in boats, all-terrain vehicles, and campers, partnering for the weekend with Camping World, Cabela's, and Bass Pro Shops. Admission is $9 for adults and $3 for children 15 and under. The first 50 paid attendees each day get a prize courtesy of Camping World. Limit one per household. Don't miss the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, January 16th through the 18th, presented by Potawatomi Chapter of Pheasants for Ever.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you. And always here at chsagra.com.
Sunday, it's the championship round of the NFL playoffs as we bring you a special doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew for all the action. First, the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks battle Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Then Tom Brady and the New England Patriots square off against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL playoffs are right here.
Coverage begins Sunday at 1 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Danny Show wrapping it up for another week here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Lagan congratulating Troy from Holdridge. He knew that the Nebraska baseball season started in Las Vegas against UNLV on February the 13th, a Friday coming up. So congratulations there to Troy from Holdridge, the winner of the $25 gift card in our Fanatics Friday fantastic trivia contest. Fanatics is your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great food, and good times. Follow all of the Husker competition, the NFL playoffs, the NBA, on their 23 high-definition televisions, and enjoy a custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings, or how about a sandwich, burger, kids menu. Fanatics, your wing destination with a wide variety of appetizers. Stop by and see them anytime on the Brick, Central Avenue, downtown Kearney. And again, congratulations to Troy from Holdridge, today's winner. A couple of other things as we roll through it here. We mentioned that UNK swept last night. They're home again tomorrow night. So if you get a chance, check out the Lopers against Central Oklahoma. Probably an even tougher doubleheader for the Lopers. Hastings College, they're at Morningside tomorrow. The women are number one. The men are number 12. You'll hear it with Mike Will on 1230 AM KHAS. Wrestling fans, Kearney's going to duel Amherst tomorrow. there's all kinds of things going on at the second annual Midwest Duels. There's a ton of college teams going on at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Starting at 9 a.m., the Lopers will have four duels. There's six high school teams. They'll round-robin each other throughout the night. That Kearney-Amherst duel will be at 6 o'clock. You know how it is, Jimmy. When the big boys or the big class gives the little guy a crack or the little guy gets a crack at the big guy, it always a little extra interest. Things like that don't happen every week or every year.
Yeah, kudos to both schools for getting that set up. What a great idea. Where's that at, Doug? Where's that Amherst?
Buffalo County Fairgrounds.
Buffalo County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, a couple of things here for you, Jimmy. Gosh darn it, I printed things off, and I didn't want to let this get away because I got stuff for you.
Okay, good. I can't wait to see what this is.
I got stuff for you. Guess what I got for you?
I'm going to say it's bowling.
No.
Okay?
No.
Not even close to bowling?
No. No, it's not even close to bowling.
All right.
It's not even close.
Is it a sport?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it ice fishing?
No, it's a college sport.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's probably not a college sport, ice fishing.
If it is, it's Alaska and Alaska Anchorage only. Those two just duel each other. It'd be a duel. They got a duel. I bet they have that. Hawaii Hilo's not very good at that ice fishing. Well, There's a lot of trouble with that.
I'll throw in, this would be a very popular sport in Hawaii.
In Hawaii?
Uh-huh.
Surfing. We've got surfing.
Yeah. Let me just tell you.
All right.
Nebraska, they've announced their schedule for the 2015 sand volleyball season.
Oh, there we go, sand volleyball.
They're going to begin that in Hawaii.
That's a good idea and a good place to go.
It's March 20th and 21st. It's called the Queen of the Beach Challenge. Hawaii, Southern Cal, California, Hawaii Pacific, and Chaminade, known not just for their men's basketball, but yes, their sand volleyball team. They'll also duel Hawaii and California in Honolulu on the 22nd, and then they're going to finish the season the next week.
Oh, so it's just 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Just during spring break.
Okay, what
4 days in Arizona. They'll play duels against Arizona State and Grand Canyon, and they'll also participate in the Wildcat Spring Challenge with Cal State Northridge, Boise State, also among the participating
teams. There you go.
Oh, and the top-rated Nebraska women's bowling team is back in action this weekend at the Midwinter Classic held in Jonesboro, Arkansas, by Arkansas State, facing a challenging 17-team field during the 3-day competition, which just about ready to get underway, Jimmy, today at noon, just moments away, 5 sets of Baker game matches.
Good deal.
Huskers have had a month off. Coach Bill Straub says he's ready to see how they respond.
But a month off.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you what, that's kind of like a horse that's set out for a month. You just don't know how he's going to run if he sits out for more than 30 days.
Let me give you some of the teams that are here in this.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Alabama A&M, Alabama State, Alabama Birmingham, all there. Bethune-Cookman, Central Missouri out of the MIAA.
Okay.
They're going to be competing there. Come on, Paul Plinski, UNK Bowling, we want it. Jackson State, Louisiana Tech, Maryland Eastern Shore, Vanderbilt, Valpo, Wisconsin Whitewater's there, and of course the host Arkansas State among some of those. Be careful. Jackson State, look for them, kind of a long shot.
Yeah.
Make some noise.
Yep. I think if you hit the Quinella with those teams, that'd pay pretty good.
And we've got some news that have just come in here to us at the Doug and Daddy Studios for Hastings College football. After serving as a grad assistant for the Huskers, Jake Mandelko, of course, when it's official like this, it's Jacob, but Jacob Mandelko will become the secondary coach for the Hastings College Bronco football team. While working for the Huskers, the former University of Nebraska Kearney safety assisted defensive backs with game and technical preparations. He graduated from UNK in 2009 with a Bachelor of Science in Sports Administration. So, congratulations, Jake Mandelko, going to join the UNK football staff.
Good deal.
What do we got here? Have they just reinstated Joe Paterno?
Yeah, 100.
Did I just see that?
He got 112 wins back.
So he is now the... So now Bobby Bowden is no longer the winningest coach in college football.
Well, it just said all I saw for sure was it just said NCAA, then the settlement has restored his 112 wins.
Good, good, good. So we'll that's just breaking. I saw that just now on ESPN's scroll. So there you go. It looks like John Fox is headed to the Chicago Bears to be their next football coach. So that leaves a couple of openings in Denver and Atlanta. We've got the NFL games early. Because this makes sense, the early game is Seattle, the late game is in New England. And again, you have to wonder why there's only three late games in the regular season and 10 early. Give me a break. You can play these games anytime you want. See, I was in such a good shape, and then 12:01, I get fired up. But 2 o'clock, 2:05, Packers-Seahawks, followed at 5:40 by the Colts and the Patriots.
Good deal.
Final Doug, thoughts, buddy?
Nope, I had a good time today. I'm enjoying that, and I don't know what I'm going to do about the sand volleyball. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to follow it that hard, though.
You might travel with them.
That'd be fun.
That'd be better than a bowl trip.
Yes, it would
be better. You're wearing your Royals gear today. Are you fired up that Ned Yost got a one-year extension?
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad. Let's keep the Royals moving.
He's a happy man. Jimmy Langan, we want to thank Brian Munson from Big Red Report for joining us. We'll see you Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.